So I'm going to hand over to Vinny. He's going to be preaching God's word to us. I will let him introduce whom he is. But he's been with us, Kim and I, and Andy and Helen for the weekend actually. And I've just got to know the man, not just the person and the face, but I've got to know the man. And we are so blessed, like genuinely so blessed. To have Vinu with us this morning, but also just as he oversees commission, as he steps into that role himself, just a man who is full of humility. There isn't an ounce of him. All right, he's a man full of humility, and he's such a blessing. And we are going to be blessed this morning, I know. So why don't we give him a great mosaic welcome?
Good morning, everyone. I just loved being here. Johnny's been saying, will you come? And I said no in the beginning, not because I didn't want to come, just coming from India and just we have other commitments. So, and this time I said, no, I'm coming. So thank you for welcoming me. I'm married to Julie. We've been married for 32 years. We have two sons and one daughter-in-law. So Jonathan is married to Sabrina. They were in Woking for a year and a half, and a month ago, they returned back to India. And our second son, Ankit, is an Indian name, which means consecrated. He's working, and right now, all are with us. So the house is full. This week they have a little break because I'm away. Right. Ready for the word? Okay. Let's see what the Lord does. When Ezra came to before the people, there was this amazing thing in Nehemiah chapter Nehemiah chapter 10, where when he called out the people, he just opened up the scripture, and people were absolutely in awe of what God is. God just reading the word. It is great to see the worship band helping us to sing and enjoy God. But I just felt as I read the word, would you mind just standing up? I think it's an honor to the word of God. Yeah. I'm reading from Joshua 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeth Haraloth. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The day after Passover, the very day they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down on the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, will you minister your grace as I unpack this passage? Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive your word and help us. Lord, bring a transformation in our life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. This bit of background to this passage, I'm sure Eilis read a portion of that this morning. The story is God's people were in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years. They cried out to God, and God sent a deliverer. His name is Moses. I shared that earlier, a bit on a prophetic sense. And then Moses led the people out of Egypt over, it says, 600,000 men. And then, of course, women and children, they all, it's almost affected the entire population of Egypt. Over a million people, maybe, walked out of Egypt overnight. And they were on this journey. And then, of course, it could have taken a couple of weeks for them to reach the land of Canaan. It took 40 years because they disobeyed God. They were arrogant. They were ungrateful. And God didn't allow that first generation that came out of Egypt, not the children, the first generation, that men and women who came out of that place, they didn't enter the promised land. And then the new leader came. Even Moses couldn't take the people. He came to the edge of the promised land. He did all the surveying, everything, but God said, "You're not the one who's taking them because you also disobeyed." When God asked him to speak to the rock for water, he went based on his experience. He said, "I will strike the rock." It's amazing. Though he disobeyed and he struck the rock, water still came. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we see certain degree of fruitfulness even in our disobedience. That doesn't mean God has approved it. And so, Moses, because of that one act, God said, "You are not the one taking the people into the promised land. I have found Joshua." When Joshua, when he came, I just kind of quite intrigued by the introduction God gave to Joshua. You know, you've been called into a new ministry, and the first thing is, "Moses, my servant, is dead." That's not a great start. You don't invite someone to take on a new responsibility. "That one is dead, now you do it." He's thinking, why he died? You know, you're calling me into this new responsibility. You know, Joshua came and he started leading. The first challenge was to get the people across the Jordan River. He's now come out of the passed through the Jordan River, and the next big thing for them is Jericho. So there's a holding place between Jordan River, cross Jordan River, and now Jericho wall before they actually enter into the promised land and to see the fruit, enjoy the fruit of the land. Some of them went, 12 of them went for a survey. 2 came back with good report. 10 said, "No, you can't do it." But God said, "I promise this, Joshua, you take the people." Now, so that's where this passage is sitting. in that holding period. So let's take 600,000 people who died in the wilderness. 40 years. Have you worked out the math? I know there are maths teachers here. There are people who knows maths. But 600,000 people, 40 years, an annual 14,000 funerals. That's a lot. 14,000 funerals divided by 365 days, that's 40 funerals a day. Wow. 40 funerals. I have done some funerals during COVID. I did 9 funerals in 38 days during COVID. And it affected my emotions because every time you go to the cemetery, even one or two funerals in a year for a pastor is quite a bit. Can you imagine Israel as a nation were burying 40 people on average? So they are become more of a funeral specialist rather than anything else. And so God is now speaking to Joshua, and there are things that he asked him to do. You cross the Jordan River. You are entering into the promised land, and you have something standing between the Jordan and promised land, that is the wall of Jericho. And so God asked Joshua, I want you to do certain things. What are some of those things that God asked him to do? So imagine the last funeral. Jericho wall is in front of you. You now have the promised land on the other side of it. So, I believe there are four things that God has emphasized in this passage for Joshua. The first thing is, in order to see a fresh beginning, in order to see something, to see the fulfillment of what God has actually called us to do, something needs to die. Something needs to die. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and die, it will not produce. So, sometimes we can feel that, you know, the dying can be quite a painful thing. But I believe certain death in certain situations is actually produces something good. There is beauty in the breaking. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, break open, and it dies, it does not produce life again. And I think God wanted to make sure that all the things of the past is buried before they enter into the promised land. What are the other things that we learn from this passage? There is a fresh call for circumcision. And then there is another thing that I observe is the manna stopped. And the Lord of the host is appearing to Joshua in a fresh way. So, something needs to die before it brings forth life. During their entire 40 years, Israel as a nation had to fight two battles. The entire 40 years. One with the Amalekites, one with the Midianites. But in this new season, God is preparing the nation of Israel for fresh battles. Not just two. In this new season, they fought 31 battles. 31 battles. We'll come to that in a bit. So, the people are saying, we don't want to be stuck here, but we want to go forward. And God says, in order to get to the new thing, I'm going to ask you to do something. That's where the knives are going to come out. Imagine this generation that came out of Egypt. They were circumcised. And now there's a new section of people, the young ones who are ready to engage in battle, to fight a lot of battles for the future. God is saying, I want you to actually come to a place of the first instruction to Joshua was, make flint knives. I don't like the sound of knife. I don't like knife. The other day I was helping Julie with some cooking, and I was cutting the onions. You know, I like to, you know, chop the onions fine. And I just chopped off a fine piece of my thumb. I don't like knife. I don't like the sound of it. But then God said to Joshua, make flint knives. I want this younger lot to go through a circumcision. Question. We don't believe in physical circumcision anymore. But what the Bible says about circumcision? In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts. You people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath will flare up and burn like because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. So God is asking Jeremiah, telling the people, circumcise your heart. They were quite keen to circumcise the physical circumcision, but not their heart. In this New Testament era, the season that we are in, this era that we live in, I believe God would desire a degree of circumcision of our heart on a daily basis. What are the things that God may be putting before you? And you as a church, in this new season, as you enter into the promises, there are things that God has prepared for you, but maybe God would desire for some, if not all. If God is going to use you, that's what these men, God was planning to use them. And he said, God is going to use you, he would require you to go through certain circumcision. And I'm sure God wants to use all of us. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision that not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. We've all gone through that. When we accepted Christ, when we turned away from our past life, as Corinthians Paul says, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, and all this is from God. So we know that we have a journey that way. But he's encouraging here, not physical circumcision, but circumcision of the heart. So I understand the word circumcision is kind of sometimes it can be, oof, what are you talking about, circumcision and flint knife and things like that. But I want to say this, after being in leading a local church for more than 27 years, I've seen how our hearts sometimes unwilling. When God shows us something, God says that, you know, I want you to be surgical with this. There are certain areas in our life. God may be asking some of you. This is what happened to Israel as a nation. They were reluctant to do the things God asked them to do. The generation that originally came out, they were stiff-necked. They were disobedient. They didn't want to do things. And God is saying to the new generation, it is God who is cutting the parts of the people, that what people can't see. There are things that in our hearts, it is going at a parts that have been covered up. The cutting, the removing, going after words, thoughts, actions, God says, I want to bring a knife to that. Is there anything in your life, brothers and sisters, that you feel you're resisting to the knife? And God said to Joshua, make flint knife. Let these men, before getting into battle, let them go through a circumcision. Now, we are not getting into those physical things, but I believe maybe the Holy Spirit is bringing the knife out today and showing you things, and you're saying, yes, Lord, or you could say, I'm not ready for it. There are benefits for doing that. Because here is what I have realized in my own life. I have realized these cuts from the Holy Spirit are not to cause any pain, but is to protect us. Some years ago, I got married to Julie, a friend of mine and I were staying together. We were childhood friends, and a colleague in my office, I knew she liked me. And so I always put up this card, I'm a Christian, and she was not a Christian. And I put up this card and said that, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, but somewhere I like that attention she showed me. You know that what I'm talking about? You're making all the right sound, but I knew in my heart I'm enjoying the attention. I'm not going after her, but she's coming after me. It's a good thing, yeah? So I knew it was her birthday, and I thought, I'll give her a card. And so I asked my friend, you know, I'm thinking of giving her a card, and he said, don't. Don't do it. Because you're saying something, but your actions are not matching with your words. And that can happen to us as well. We make all the right sound in our Christian walk, but you know deep down inside, you don't mean it. Certain terminologies that we use in India, I don't hear that much here. Hello, praise the Lord, brother. God is with you. God is bless you. But you know, the same people can be very jealous about the things that God is doing in your life. The same people can actually work against you, slander against you. And this happens in God's family. It happens in India, and I'm sure it happens here as well. And maybe God is asking, are you willing to let the knife come out today? Because Israel as a nation, they believed in certain lies. Because the report from the spies were 10 of them giving negative, we can't take this land. The people are there like giants. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so these negativities, and there are certain things. And I'm not directly correlating with your situation to this. I know you know, sometimes if you are part of a bigger gathering, you know, for 3 years ago, we planted a church with 27 people. I made an appeal to those who are coming from a particular area. And I said, we are starting this church. Would you be part of this? Would you, new thing that we are planning to start? Or you're free to stay with the bigger gathering. And 27 people said, we will go. Few people said, no, we don't want to miss this company. Good band, good worship, good preaching, or we will be part of this. And 27 people said, we will do it. And that 27 has become, now in 3 years, has become over 100 people. Now they have a band. Now they have, you know, things like that. But they were willing to let go of something of their self and said, we are willing to do it. And in the season that you are in, you know, Mosaic Church, when we were all together, things were taken care, things were looked after, certain safety net was just available. But I want to say, in this new season, God is giving you something to look forward to. God is calling you to something of greater fruitfulness. I believe your this new journey is going to be truly helping you to enter into the promise of God. And I truly believe that. And so, there were things that they need to put to death. There are, the voices that they came to them, and they said, now we are going to move forward. And maybe God is saying to some, just focus on what I am doing right now. Go through this, and I will take you to the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And that's what I feel in terms of that portion where putting the knife. The third aspect of this is the manna stopped. Man, manna stopped. 40 years they enjoyed free food. Absolutely. They were bored with it. But the truth is, nobody had to cook. Can you imagine? All those cooking for years, you've been, laboring in your kitchen, making a different dish. What will I make this week? What will I pack for children's tiffin? You know, the thoughts, go and pick up the manna, give it to husband, give it to children. Everybody is the same. That was for 40 years. 40 years. And then God said, that's going to stop. Manna stopped. Manna stopped is not to make them go hungry. Manna stopped so that they can start enjoying the produce of the land. And I want to say this prophetically for you as a people. Some things had to be stopped in order to enjoy fresh food. And I believe in this season, you're going to enjoy something that you've never eaten for 40 years. Never eaten for years. That doesn't mean that all that you or your past experience is bad or anything. I'm saying for this new season, God has prepared something special for you. This is the produce of the land. The fruit, once you heard that the spies are coming and said the grapes and the pomegranates, you've seen the size of it, and now you are in it. You can start enjoying it. Yesterday, some of us went for a walk, and someone gave me a bit of an education about Bognor Regis, right? And I said, why this Regis Bognor? I can understand why this Regis. He said, some king visited this place and he quite liked it. I heard another story. One king didn't like it. One king liked it, and therefore it is now known as a place, Bognor is a place king visited. It's something of the past. But I want to say this to you, Mosaic Church. Your next journey is not just about king visited, but you are actually in a season, king is visiting you. King is visiting you. Okay? So the manna stopped for the Israelites. And you don't hear many people complaining, at least it is not written here. Manna was a wilderness food. But it wasn't the promised land food. God is saying, I am going to put you onto a new diet. That's not a strange word. These days, everyone is thinking about dieting. At least they are thinking. God would provide, in this new season, God would provide differently. Now listen to the words he says in verse 12, your food is going to come from the battle. It's not free food. Though we like the idea of somebody doing home delivery, I don't know those kind of apps, how popular they are in England. In India, we can't live without it. I mean, everything in less than 15 minutes at your doorstep, you can get the best of food, groceries, anything. So they are, while we are ordering the diet food, we are not doing any exercise of going out and getting it. So I believe God is going to, this new season, the food is going to come from your own warfare. I'm going to give you a new diet in the new and a new food. You will reap spoils instead of always needing a provision. You're going to walk in the victory that will produce the blessing of God. You're going to walk in new victory. In the past, maybe one or two battles. In the new season, they have many battles, but they saw victory. And in this new season, I believe God's saying, your fruit is going to come from your battle. I don't mean literal, you know, the food that we eat. I feel the things that God has put in your heart. How many of you know that, you know, currently this world, the real world that we live in, the nations, number of nations are at war with each other. Russia and Ukraine, that, you know, has been going on for a few years. There are other nations are in war. Our nation, India, nearly got into a war with Pakistan a few months ago. I mean, I think we didn't end up in a war. There was a few airstrikes, but then everything stopped. But then there are other nations, tribes and people. We are constantly in a battle. But I just want to say this. While we want those things to stop, can I just say, in this new season that you are in, fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Fight for your faith. Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith. Brothers and sisters, fight for your faith, because we don't get much encouragement from the news channels or the newspaper or anything that comes to our inbox. We don't get much encouragement to fight for the faith. But the Word of God suggests in this new season, God is allowing us to go through so that when we fight for your faith, when we fight for your marriage, when we fight for your children, don't just stand and watch. Fight. Go on your knees and pray, and go pray with others. Don't just give in to and say that, you know, divorce rates are increasing, so I might as well give up. God does not want us to give up. God wants us to fight. In this new season, there are many battles, and I'm not talking about literal battle. I'm talking about fighting for our right, you know, not just human right, but I'm talking about fighting for our marriage, fighting for our children, fighting for our faith. If we don't, we will not heed the produce of the land. So I just want to encourage you with that. And then number four, the final point, is that you will see the Lord of hosts in a new way. Like I mentioned earlier, Israel as a nation fought two battles during their wilderness period. But when they came into the promised land, they fought 31 battles. 31 battles. In all these battles, something for us to know. So when the Lord of the host appeared before Joshua, so here is the cross from Jordan, standing between the Jericho wall and Jordan and the promised land, and he sees this enormous figure. And he goes and asks, the first question Joshua said, are you for us or for our enemies? And I'm thinking, Joshua, that's not a good question. Wrong question. It is like Simo and Johnny watching a Liverpool and Manu match. Mismatch. And he's seen Johnny saying, God, give Manu a victory. And Simo is saying, give Liverpool a victory. And now they won't do that. At least they may not sit and watch together. Yeah. What do you think God will do? He may not say that, you know, I'm not interested in football. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the kind of prayers that we should make. When Joshua saw the Lord of the host, he asked a wrong question. He said, are you for us or for our enemy? Can I say this? The Lord of the host is standing there. You and I need to draw near to the Lord of the host, not inviting them to our side. Because the one who is standing in front of Joshua is the Lord of the host, who has a history of not losing a single battle. Not a single battle. Show me one battle that he has lost. Never. And so for you and I, we all love to draw near to, when we go through difficulties and challenges, what helps us, what makes us feel better is that, oh, I need to talk to somebody. It's a good thing. You need to take help. You need to take help. But our trust is not in that person, but our trust must be in the Lord of the host. Because we must learn to draw near to him. And the second question was even a better one from Joshua. Joshua said, what is the message you have for your servant? And when you draw near to the Lord of the host, it is often the case is that he has a message for you and for me. God will speak because he said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Because if you want to see breakthrough in your marriage, you're not just drawing to another person, or you're not drawing to another, you know, solution, you're drawing to God first. And God might very well lead you to do something that is appropriate, you know, seeking help and counsel, etc. But your first posture should be not asking God to take your side, but you make that attempt and say, God, I'm going to draw near to you. If your children are struggling, maybe their faith, maybe their health, what are the challenges they are facing? Before, I say this sometimes, before you run to the phone, run to the throne. Let God be in our situation. Let's draw near to God. And once we draw near to God, he will tell us the place where you're standing is holy. Take off your sandals, because when you come to me, you can't come the way you want. You can come just as you are. You can't come and say, God, I want you to do this for me. I want you to help me with this. You do this for me. You do my errands. You my help. You my everything. That's not what God's job is. God is saying, you draw near to me. And that's what Joshua did. Brothers and sisters, Joshua not only led these thousands of people into the promised land and caused them to settle in the promised land, but he fought 31 battles
not lost a single one. Not because Joshua was great, because the Lord of the host has no history of losing a single battle. In this new season that you are in as a Mosaic church, there will be challenges, there will be battles. That is not to discourage you. I lead Living Hope Church, been leading for 27 years. Now I lead Commission. Just because you grow in your responsibility does not guarantee that you will not have battles. Every level, you will have fresh battles. But every level, the Lord of the host is there with you. So the battle strategy from God's side is simple. It's not that we are asking, come to my side and help me. No, you draw near to God and say, God, I'm going to do this according to your way. When you ask me to take off my sandals, I will do it. That's another strategy. When you ask me to go prostrate and worship you, I will do that. When Gideon was asked to do something very silly, isn't it? Blow the trumpet, beat the thing, drums, and the enemy gets scattered, they kill each other, and Gideon said, yeah, I've done it. No, God has a completely different strategy for our battles. And prayer is a great strategy. So you draw near to God, not for your needs, you draw near to God to know His heart. And in this case, Joshua was asked to take off his sandals. Because and the next thing you know, that Isles read that portion. What did they do, the strategy for Joshua's first battle strategy? Walk around Jericho wall. Have you ever thought about it? This is one of the most, you know, in my view, it is not a strategy at all. It is a waste of time, and it looks so silly. And he's saying, God, we got the enemies, that wall needs to come down. And he's saying, walk around it. And that too, don't say anything. Just walk around it. As you walk around it, and the last day, if in case you are so desperate to shout, last day you can give a shout. And the wall came down. Wall came down. I want to encourage you, Mosaic Church. These four things, some things of the past, need to die, because there's a beauty in the breaking. And if God is causing you to be a giant tree and to flourish, some things, the seed needs to die. Something of the past needs to die. The past memories, sometimes the past, the good things of the past also need to be buried in order for the new season. And in this new season, God might ask some of you to go through a circumcision. The things that you know and the things that God knows, no one else has seen it. And God's saying, put a knife to it. Let there be a circumcision of your heart, circumcision of those areas in your life, which could be, you know, maybe anything. Maybe you're struggling and you're saying that these are things that are hindering me. And the third thing is the manna. We are so used to being provided. We're so used to just not doing much work for it, just picking it up. But God's saying that will stop, because you're going to have fresh, new diet for this new season. The land will produce its fruit, and you will enjoy the produce of the land. And the last thing, you will have a fresh revelation of the Lord of the host. For the battles that you're going to face, the challenges that you're going to face, I'm not saying this to frighten you. I have many battles to fight, but one thing I know, the one who's called me is faithful. And the one who's called me is the one I look to when I'm going through battles. I have battles in my personal life, church life, commission leadership life. We have battles to fight in our own nation with many battles. But we know this for sure. God is leading us. I just want to call Simo and the team to come and help us with this song. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. So as we sing this song, don't stand up right now, but if you feel any of these four things that God has nudged your heart, that one is for me. If you feel any of these areas, maybe just one, or maybe two, maybe three, or maybe all four. If you are in that, then stand. So don't stand now. Close your eyes. Just process these things in your heart and let God lead you as the song progresses.